Monty.
Good morning, Monty.
Good morning. How's everybody doing?
Doing good. I think I'm the only one on so far.
Well, that's so fun. We need a party.
I'll say.
Are people starting to just get on later, or what's going on, you know?
No, I don't know. I guess, as it's never a good thing getting on later, though.
Got that right.
We have this time frame to meet, don't we?
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah, we got kind of a little cloudy day morning here.
Do you? We at least at this point have some sunshine. That's a good thing.
Good.
Yes, yes. So I don't think there's rain until this weekend again.
Vegetable state, right? Has arrived. You on, Joanne?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay.
Good morning.
Morning, Betty.
Good morning.
Morning,
Monty.
Has arrived. Has arrived.
Good morning.
Now we're getting a party.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, Elaine.
Hi, Betty. Hi, Anita.
Hi.
Did I hear Monty, too?
You did.
Yes, you did.
Good morning.
We're getting ready to have a party. Good morning.
Yes, Monty and I were feeling lonely. So glad you're with us. Anybody have anything on their mind to begin with this morning?
No, I'm going to mute myself out so I can start my dryer.
Okay, very good. I found an article in our paper that was interesting, that it would show up, and it's on the modified wheat that was found in Oregon. I like the fact that that we're getting information on these things that we're trying to work with and make people aware of. Clear over here in the east, so in the northeast, so that was pretty awesome. But have you all read about this modified wheat that was found in Oregon?
I pulled it off of the internet someplace. Maybe organic something or other.
It's been big time on our news here. Every time you have the local news on, they're talking about it. They are very, very upset about it.
Yes, there's even. Oh, I was just going to say, I read an article in the paper here in Kansas. There's a farmer, probably more, who are suing Monsanto.
Yes, I thought that was an interesting follow-up, Elaine, that after finding this, that's what's coming about is the lawsuit. And the article I read said Monsanto's misdeeds finally being addressed as countless lawsuits are pouring in.
Yeah, even in Brazil, the country of
Brazil. Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm. That was in Mary Jane's farm magazine.
Wow. What issue is that? I don't know whether I've gotten my latest one or not. Did it just come?
Well, no, it wasn't the latest one. It was like the last one that I received.
What month?
No, I'm wondering.
Oh, I don't know
when it comes out. But it's just recent, just very recent.
Okay.
But I haven't gotten one now. I don't remember when that one came. If it was the end of May.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, that's about the time I got mine too, I think. I'll have to go back and look because I missed that. Sometimes I don't go through it very carefully.
Yeah, well, it seems like it's about time for another magazine to come, but, so I'm not sure what the month was on it.
Yeah, I like those.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was, it just blew my mind that it was saying in our paper about, the workers frayed this wheat, sprayed it, but the wheat wouldn't die. Their confused boss grabbed a few stalks and sent it to a university lab in early May. A few weeks later, Oregon State wheat scientists made a startling discovery that wheat was genetically modified in clear violation of U.S. law, although there's no evidence that modified wheat entered the marketplace. Right. Kind of hard to figure that it hasn't.
And if I remember right, it was thousands of acres that it affected.
Yes.
On this one farm.
Absolutely. And then this that I was reading, this Monsanto's misdeeds finally being addressed, it says, the irony in all this, of course, is that Monsanto has a sleazy track record of aggressively suing farmers, just like Ernest Barnes, whose crops inadvertently became contaminated by its patented and commercialized Franken crops. The only difference in this case, though, is that Monsanto's GM wheat is illegal, which means not only is Monsanto responsible to the general public for violating federal law, but it is also responsible for infringing on the rights of farmers by damaging their crops and negatively affecting international trade. The proverbial chickens are finally coming home to roost for Monsanto, which is good news for the future of humanity. If Monsanto is willing to unscrupulously exploit the legal system for its own financial gain by suing farmers who are actually the victims of its evil deeds, it's only fair that the vile corporation also be held fully responsible for violating federal law. Monsanto must also be brought to task and prosecuted to the full extent of the law for completely upsetting the international wheat trade, which is a major component of the national economy. Monsanto knew or should have known that the existence of genetically engineered wheat commingling with the general wheat supply would cause significant disruptions in the wheat export market, and that such a situation could involve huge disruptions in the wheat trade while imposing additional costs on U.S. wheat farmers and specifically Pacific Northwest soft white wheat farmers, explains a similar lawsuit filed in Idaho by a cohort of injured farmers from the Pacific Northwest. Pretty strong article and much needed.
So it was a soft white wheat that was affected. Okay.
Yes.
I hadn't picked that up before. Not the hard red. Hard red's the more popular, obviously, but soft white gets, you know, some play also.
Yes, you know, I think it's all, in a lot of instances, it's just listed under wheat, and nobody breaks that out as to, as far as even people who, countries that are purchasing wheat. Makes you wonder if they get into knowing that this is an issue, with just...
Well, when, here, the white wheat is always labeled separately. It's not bulked into the hard red, because the hard red is what's normally used for bread. And the soft white is, doesn't get near, I mean, you don't see it very often. I picked up, you know, out of the stuff that's there, it's probably going to be 1/50th, I'm guessing, of what we're seeing for wheat in this area, if that.
I don't think I've ever noticed any difference around here that there would be anything. I'll have to watch closely, but I don't see anything that's labeled the red or the soft white.
Ours says hard red. Some of it says winter wheat. Some of it says spring wheat. And then the other is soft white, which I've never seen that it says. I'll have to look at mine, see if it's, I don't remember it saying spring or winter. It just says soft white wheat. Or it just has arrived. White wheat, sometimes it says. But it's always differentiated with white on the label. Because I don't think it turns out red very well, is what I'm remembering. The protein content is much lower.
I'll be darned. I was
never aware. They just might not ship it as much in the state.
Right, yes.
I would like to Google or try and find out what percentage of the wheat is white wheat that is sold in the United States. Out of curiosity, now that I'm saying that.
Yeah, that would be very interesting. I also, in the latest Silver Knives email that just came out, there's a recipe for black bean burgers that looks really, really interesting. And so if you'd like, I'll give that to you.
That sounds good to me.
This yields 6 burgers. And it's 1 cup of cooked brown rice. 1 15-ounce can of black beans. 1/2 onion diced.
Well, it was 1 cup or 1 can of black beans?
1 15-ounce can. Of black beans. 1/2 onion diced. 1/4 cup corn. 1 teaspoon of cumin. 1 teaspoon of garlic powder. 1/4 teaspoon of chili powder. 1/4 cup of cornmeal. 2 tablespoons of salsa. As you can see, this is leaning toward the Mexican
has arrived.
Anybody need any of those reread?
How much of the brown rice? 2 cups?
1 cup of brown rice.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Thanks.
All right. The instructions for that would be cook the brown rice. Bring 1/2 cup of rice and 1 cup of water to a boil in a pot. Once boiling, reduce heat to simmer.
Okay, bring 1/2 cup of boiled rice and what?
1/2 cup of rice and 1 cup of water to a boil.
Oh, 1/2 cup of cooked rice and 1/2 cup of
No, one cup of water. I'm sorry.
Once boiling, reduce to simmer.
How long?
It doesn't really say how long.
Oh, okay.
It says it's absorbed.
Oh, it's until
right
it's so
fully cooked.
So you're cooking it the second time, right?
No.
Or is there, huh?
No, you're just cooking the rice. The half
okay,
cup
but
of rice.
Okay, at the beginning you said one cup of cooked rice, right?
Yes, and I'm trying to figure out what it's talking about if it says one cup up there and a half cup that we're doing in the instructions.
Well, one half cup of raw rice would make one cup of cooked rice, so I don't know why they're doubling up on that, but that's okay.
Yes, you're right. Up the top it says one cup of cooked brown rice. So that would be the half cup of rice that we're
yeah, I guess
working
I'm
with.
Telling you how to do it, huh?
Yes.
Right. Okay.
Boil beans until soft or drain canned beans. Pour the beans in a medium-sized bowl and mash them with your hands. A potato masher or a fork. Preheat your oven to 350 degrees. Lay a piece of parchment paper on your sheet pan. Sweat the onions in a sauté pan. Sweat means the moisture comes from the veggies, so no oil is needed. Just remember to keep a lid on the pan. If the onions do start to stick, add a little bit of water. When onions become translucent, add corn and spices. Cook for a few more minutes. So we're going to do the onions just like we always do in a dry pan. Except this time it says put a lid on it. I don't think I've ever put a lid on mine when I was sweating them. Add the cornmeal, salsa, veggies, and rice to the beans in the bowl. Mix everything together so there's an even consistency. Easier to do this with your hands. Form into patties. A good thickness is about a half inch. Half inch thick and about 3 inches in diameter. Place patties on parchment paper and bake for 15 minutes at 350. Flip the patties, bake for another 15 minutes. Serve between 2 leaves of romaine lettuce with tomato, onion, mustard, whatever you would like. Or try putting the burger on a bed of fresh spinach instead of the bun. Anybody miss anything?
No, I'm playing Joanne right now, every which way on my side of the paper. Ran out of room on the paper.
God, I can't get away with anything around here.
Oh, I thought that was my...
I'm doing it as we speak.
The next is to be able to go back and read that, which you've written, right?
The only thing that saves me is I've done enough recipes, I'll probably figure out how to put it together.
Right, yes. Yes.
Oh.
Anybody else have anything, any comments at this point?
You said put it on lettuce leaves for a sandwich, or what was the other thing on a that you said?
On a bed.
Oh, okay. So you could make a taco salad out of this.
I do believe so.
That'd be good. That'd
yeah.
be really good. Or a wrap. This sounds like what they put together for,
Oh, yeah.
There's a place that's called the, Pita Pit that has a, connected yogurt restaurant to it. They used to give you a dollar off on your yogurt when you bought a wrap or some, you know, kind of a thing from them. Mostly wraps is what they had, but that's what they specialized in. The kids like going there for yogurt, and the adults get something in their stomach first, usually. But anyway, that it sounds just like what they do for stuffing in their pita bread or putting into a wrap.
Would be, I think very delicious on even the rice wrap. The thin ones, the spring roll.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. I hadn't thought of that. I'm going to put that out in the... That would be fun to do it and stretch it tight, you know, and seal it.
Yes. Yes, with whatever pretty vegetables you want to show through.
Uh-huh. Great idea. I like those because you can make them up ahead of time, and as long as you keep them covered, they stay, you know... really well, especially for a few hours or even up to a day you've done them.
Yeah, I am just crazy about those because of the lack of bread kind of thing with it that becomes sometimes just dominating whatever you're having.
Mm-hmm. You can really chock them full of veggies.
Yes. Yes, and I usually have on hand, they have the shredded carrots, that are in a bag that I can get a whole.
The shredded what?
Carrots.
Oh, yeah.
So, and I always use those in those wraps. Ian is quick and easy. But I was, what's the other, gosh, I was just thinking about the thing that we use for, that's used for pitas all the time in a more, Indian.
Oh, the flatbread. The flatbread.
I was thinking of the falafel.
Oh, yeah. Pressed together, the typical is deep fried, but you can bake them also.
Yes. Yes, and that's made out of chickpeas, I believe, basically.
Yes, I think you're right. I haven't made them for a while.
And that this recipe kind of reminded me of that it gives it just a different, you know, more of the Mexican flavoring. And so, and the falafels are always in a flatbread or a pita bread.
This is just a question for you, because I'm going to keep track. Did I give you the recipe within the last week for the quinoa tabbouleh salad?
No.
Okay. I didn't think I had, but I thought I should have because that was one I did over the weekend. That's okay. I just wondered.
Yeah. No, but it sounds wonderful.
It was really good. I double loaded it with cucumbers more than what they called for, and it made it really good.
I got a, just picked up at Whole Foods in their deli area, a salad that was, just with some tomatoes and onions and some vinegar and, it had a little bit of oil, I think, but not much of anything. And it had, dill, in it. And that was really, really tasty. I hadn't made that. In the summer, I always make the tomatoes with, onion and, let it sit and marinate. But I've never used the dill seasoning with it. And this was, you know, just the fronds, the real fine. Dill. It was just beautiful and fresh and nice. So just a thought, if nobody like me had thought about using dill with their tomatoes.
So the dill weed is what you're...
Yes,
what
yes.
Call it.
Star. Yes. Yeah, not the...
I was going to say my husband puts dill weed in everything.
Yeah, you know, I was never a big fan of that, and probably because I wasn't eating the dill weed, I was having things that would just have the seed, and that was maybe a little too strong, or, you know, just not as something, but this was great. Anybody else have any ideas of food or anything else on their mind about KVB or whatever?
That's a good one to plant in the garden, the dill, and I forget about it.
Yes, I didn't even pick up any seeds for that.
Good morning, this is Jeannie.
Hey, Jeannie.
I just have a quick, the quinoa tabbouleh. I have... Did you send a recipe before about that? I had a recipe for it, and I was going to make it.
I don't think I did. I was trying to remember. I just did it over the weekend and forgot to take it to the family dinner on Sunday, and that maybe that was why I forgot about it, because we hadn't even eaten it, that much of it until... after, well, Monday night, I put it on a big bed of greens and really, really liked it. The thing that was kind of different about it, it had, and I don't know if this is your version too, I can't remember where I saw it. It probably came down on Veggie Times News, you know, one of their, ones that they give out for during the week, but it had you dice the, this one served, actually, this one served, it was a huge amount. It served 20 to 24 people. I cut it in half, I remember, because it called for 5 cups of quinoa. And I cut it in half, but it had you doing 2 bunches of radishes. I did one, and you minced them, and then you you blanched them. And I think that was in part maybe so the color didn't bleed into the salad because you had just little pieces of light pink. Is that what yours called for, Jeannie?
No. This one came from All Recipes.
Oh, no.
Oh, and the date I printed it out was 07.
Okay. No, this was just something I saw recently, but it was good. It had a lot of cucumber in it, so... I put even more, I think it called for 6 cucumbers in the full patch. I put 3 and then I put another one of the English cucumbers in it and gave it more moisture, and then it was just a really light dressing on it. Of course, a little bit of, I think I used a little bit of coconut oil. No, I didn't use coconut oil because I didn't want it to set up, you know, and get firm on it, but I used a little tiny bit of, regular olive oil with the vinegar.
Okay, well, I'll have to look it up again, but...
Yeah,
I,
you know
that of it for a big group of people would be easy, really easy to do fast, and it would be a good keeper, because it doesn't matter. Actually, it tastes better when it sets a day, I think, than you do it the first day when the flavors blend.
I remember, I do believe it was on Monday that you said you had forgotten one of the things, one of the dishes you were going to take with you, and you would talk about it later. So
okay, good.
Yeah.
Thank you for
yes.
remembering what I forgot.
We are all here to help each other. Can it come back?
good grief.
Thank you.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, is there anything else on your mind? Because we're just about at time.
Well, yeah, I'd like to say something, if you don't mind. We were talking about the genetically engineered seeds earlier in the show, in the call this morning. And I just wanted to read you a quick article out of the, it is out of the Oregon, business news, and it's in 2011, and we're always wondering, why is Monsanto doing a wants to? Well, it goes on to start and says the company says higher sales of genetically engineered seeds helped it really nearly double its third quarter profit as the company convinced more farmers to try it. In 2011, they made $3.59 billion, and I've always said follow the money. But I want to go further down in the article. There's just one quick paragraph here I'd like to read and let you all better understand why Monsanto is doing what they're doing. And it goes on in the article and says that Grant has said previously that it's critical to get the more expensive seeds planted on farmers' acres so they can see the economic benefits of the crop, even if Monsanto has to discount its prices. Once the new line of seeds get a foothold in the market, Monsanto will be able to charge more for them, this gentleman said. Shifting to new seed line is important to Monsanto because the patent, listen to this now, because the patent on its most popular trait right now, which makes plants resistant to the proper herbicide Roundup, set to expire in 2014. So now you know why there's such a foot for Monsanto is because their patent is going to expire on the old product in 2014, and that's why they're doing what they're doing.
Not only are the
seeds more expensive, but the farmers have to use tons more chemicals because since it's resistant to kill anything, you've got to use more and more herbicide on it. So, and Monsanto produces that as well.
You bet.
You got it right. Just watch the pharmaceutical company.
Thanks. Absolutely.
Thanks, Mommy.
Frightening. The more you hear, the more frightening it becomes.
You're right.
So I wish something would happen big enough that it would affect them, make a dent in their income to where it would slow them down or stop them completely, because it's scary to see them messing with our food. And did anybody see Oz yesterday that was on the subject of what they're doing to our food? It was either yesterday or the day before. It was a repeat, but I hadn't seen it or heard all of it, obviously, because parts of it were totally new to me.
Must have been Monday, because I was at work then and missed it.
And
okay.
I didn't see it either. Wow.
And they were also talking about what's in our food that we don't realize that's on the label. And he put a fourth of a teaspoon of something on a spoon, and he says this amount will affect the percentage risk of you developing heart disease. One, like a quarter of a teaspoon, just the tip of the spoon in it. He said this is going...
I think that was hydrogenated oil, wasn't it? I did pick up that.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Yeah,
that's what it was. And it doesn't have to be on the label because they're allowed to put a half a gram per serving in. And he
yeah.
says it takes little of nothing, he said, to affect. And the foods that were most common with the hydrogenated oil, I can't remember that.
I don't remember either.
Probably anything possible.
He was talking about the... And what it does body as far as... I think there was a doctor or somebody with him, and they were talking about the oil that it's fried in, all these things... It went back to, you can't only eat one chip, that ad that was on all, has been on all the time. And the reason that you can't eat it is because the fat, pulls you in and the salt hits your tongue and
the sugar.
Yes, and the sugar from the potatoes. And so they kind of lock you into eating the bag instead of one kind of thing and how bad it is for you. So, yeah.
Yeah, wasn't that Michael Moss from that book, Sugar, Salt, Fat?
Yes, yes, it was.
Oh, you're right. That's what it was.
Yes.
And I've got that on my iPad and I haven't read it.
Yeah. Well, we're running a little late here at this point, so I guess we better wrap it up. Anything else before we get on with our day?
Well, thank you, Betty.
Yes, good information.
Yeah, thanks for participation. Appreciate it all the time. Love to spend my mornings with you. You know that. So thank you.
Thanks, Betty. Thank you.
Thanks, Betty.
Thanks, Betty.
Bye-bye.
To learn more about NECAN, we encourage you to contact the person who suggested you listen to this information.